turn to 1 Corinthians 10:14. Kind of get on there a bit. I want to pray first. Father, we thank you for this day, and Father, as we read your holy word, that your word would penetrate and reveal anything in our lives that need to be dealt with. Lord, where there is religiousness, Father, that you would reveal that. Father, where there is unbelief, Father, that you would reveal that. And Lord, that you would move in our lives and draw us closer to you as we surrender to you. So, Father, I do pray that you would captivate our minds and our hearts today. Lord, that we would desire to serve you wholeheartedly. And, Father, that we would desire to serve you and to recognize that we belong to you, that as we are going to have communion later on, Father, that we recognize that if we have surrendered our lives to you, that we are owned by you, and you desire us to serve you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen. So in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." There's a lot of idolatry that's even in the church. And sometimes we get caught up with things that might, human traditions. We see sometimes human traditions get in the way of actually worshiping and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Because even Paul speaks about it as times. Flee from idolatry. Do we have anything that is higher than the Lord Jesus Christ in our own lives? Do I desire other things more so than Jesus? If we do, that'd be idolatry. He says, "So therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Leave that behind. Seek him. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say." The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not for communion of the blood of Christ? The bread we break, is it not communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread, one body, for you all partake of one bread. So this speaks to communion with Christ. It speaks of our new identity with Christ. So 1 Corinthians 10, 14-17 is talking about communion with the Lord. Do we desire to commune with the Lord? I know more and more every day, don't we? And when we take communion, we're reminding ourselves of what he has done already for us. And so that we don't forget who he is. How many of us need reminders? I have reminders on your phone. Say you need to do this today. You should be doing this or that because we forget. Because Jesus even said to his disciples, do this as often. And sometimes we should be doing it more often than what we do. So we don't forget who he is. And we don't forget who we are in him. It's saying that we need to identify with the Lord Jesus. Identify saying that, you know, Lord, you have died for me. You have redeemed me. You have drawn me out of the darkness and brought me into the light. Lord, I can't save myself, but only he can save you. And he's the only one that can keep you. Because we can't walk as we need to walk in the Lord if we aren't abiding in Christ. Right? John 15 says that. You know, he's the branch. Well, he's the vine, we're the branches, sorry. We need him to empower us and to help us grow. We can't do this on our own. And even as the body of Christ, we come together, we encourage one another in the Word of God, to pray for one another, encourage one another in the faith. So it's nothing about doing it on our own. It's coming together to encourage one another and trust in the Lord. To recognize, when we take communion, we recognize that as we eat the bread and drink the cup. The cup is the third cup in the Seder. It's the cup of redemption. So we're always reminding ourselves that we've been redeemed. Sometimes we forget that. When we take the communion, we're reminding ourselves and we are professing our commitment to the Lord. We are reminding ourselves that the blood of Christ cleanses us and redeems us, purifies us from all sin that we confess. And I know it talks about if we say that we don't sin anymore, then we make God out to be a liar. 1 John 1:9 talks about that. But we need to confess our sins daily. Because none of us, how many of us have not sinned in a day yet? I have. I sin quite often. But we need to confess our sins because we all do fall short. When we eat the matzah, we're reminded of Jesus. His body was he was perfect. He was sinless. And when we eat the matzah, you look at all the holes in here, pierced and striped. We remind ourselves what he has accomplished and what he's done. We're reminding ourselves, right? He was sinless. He took our sin. He bore our sin. He was the substitutory sacrifice. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, his body was broken, but yet not a single bone on his body was broken. Isn't that amazing? Even on the cross, not a single bone of his body was broken. Why is that significant? Yeah. If a single bone was broken, then he would not have been the perfect sacrifice. Isaiah 53:5. We turn to Isaiah 53:5. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions; he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." We have sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When you start reading this Isaiah 53, it just talks about how when Christ went to the cross for us, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before the shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison from judgment. And who would declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land and the living. For the transgressions of my people have been stricken, and they have made his grave with the wicked. But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, we shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I think I might do something different. Sometimes when can we hand out the bread or the Seder? We'll just hand out the cups. Now, if you're not a believer, before we hand out the communion elements, if you're not a believer, if you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do not take the communion cup or the bread. Okay? This is only for the bride of Christ. Right? Only if you're a believer. So if you're not a believer, please do not take the elements. I think sometimes when we took the communion, you hold on to it and you think about all that Jesus has done for you. And that we don't enter into this lightly. It's not a religious ritual, but it's a personal relationship. And you're thinking about all that he has done for you and still doing in your life. It's time to repraise him. It's not a sorrowful time, but a time of praising him, saying, Lord, I thank you for what you're still doing in my life. Thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed me, Lord, and that you're still working in my life, even though I have fallen so many different times. Lord, that it's you that picks me up every single time. And Lord, that you cleanse me from all my sin, from all the things that I thought or done. You take away that sin and remove that stain, that you purify me, you cleanse me. So when we hold the bread and the wine, we're thinking of him. So we're going to turn to Luke 22. Verse 14. So we're going to read Luke 22, verse 14 to 20. And so this is, and when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them with a fervent desire. I was like, what is a fervent desire? It's passion, it's having a passionate intensity. He had a passionate intensity to sit down with them, to have this last meal with them before he went to the cross. And this is going to be this Seder is going to be a different Passover than any other time, because they have done this together like times before. And as Jewish men, they would have done this all their life. And there would have been a ritual, what they would say. There's different prayers through the different one. And so, and then when the hour had come, he sat down with the 12. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover before I suffer. For I say, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. This cup, the first cup he talks about, is the second cup of the Seder and judgment. Do you know there's three cups in the Seder? There's a sanctification cup, a judgment cup, and a redemptive cup. So this cup that he talks about right now is the judgment cup. This is the first one, because he's going to get all the sins going to be poured onto him. Judgment of God. God's wrath will be poured onto Jesus. He knows that this is going to happen. He took the cup of judgment upon himself for you and I. God's wrath had to be poured out on a perfect sacrifice, a perfect lamb, a holy lamb. One without any sin, without any blemish, without anything that he had to be perfect. And he was perfect. And so when he took this cup from the Seder, the second cup was the cup of judgment. Because he's going to take all that judgment upon himself for you and I. Talk about a loving God. He's going to take everything, every sin that has ever been done, and for any other sin for the future, is going to be poured out upon him. That's love. For I say to you, I will not drink the fruit of this vine until the kingdom comes. And he took the bread, he gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to him. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in the remembrance of me. So he would break, and they're like looking, like, wow. Like, just think of what they're what are they thinking? And so after they took the bread, they chewed on it. And then he took the fourth cup, or third cup. So the cup that we take at communion is the third cup now he's going to take. And this one he's going to say, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He's making a new covenant with his disciples. He's making a new covenant with you and I. This is the new covenant. It's a marriage covenant. Do you know that? When we take this cup as a believer, we are saying that I belong to you, Lord. I lay down my life for you. I'm your bride. You're my groom. This is the new covenant. We are his bride. We are saying each time we take this, this is why it's so important that if you're not a believer, do not take the elements. This is why we need to make sure that we're taking it. We're not taking it out of obligation because somebody else is taking it or because I don't want to be left out. But we are taking it and reminding ourselves that we belong to him. I'm his bride. He bought and paid for me in full. And I have surrendered my life to him. So this is, it's a very personal time for us to remember that we have been, his perfect life was laid down for us. He took all the wrath, all the sin that we have done, the whole world has done. It was all poured upon him. And that's why we have to remember the second cup, because it was judgment. The third cup is redemption. We've been redeemed. And this is why we could celebrate. Right? It's like, Lord, I thank you that you have redeemed me, not because of anything I have done. It's all because of what you have done. And so we can celebrate, not to look gloomy. It's like, Lord, I do take what you have done for me. I believe what you have done for me. I thank you that you have redeemed me, that I'm no longer a sinner, but a child of God, that I'm your bride, that I am walking with you hand in hand. I'm going to follow my groom to the ends of the world. It's a time of celebration, not a time of looking down and being gloomy about the things that we have done, but we confess our sins beforehand. It's like, Lord, I have blown it today, and Lord, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me today. And you know what he says? He says when you confess your sins upon him, he chooses not to remember them any longer. So we should not remember our sins any longer. Right? Satan will come along and say, you know what? Did he really say that for you? But you know what? You can tell the Satan, get behind me. You have no opportunity. You have nothing to hold against me because I've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. I don't have to listen to you any longer. And we choose not to hear his voice and say, Lord, help me to recognize your promises. Right? So it's tragic when a believer loses the wonder of what it means to be redeemed. Have we ever done that? Most likely. It's even more horrific when a believer forgets the Redeemer. We should not take it for granted. And in Romans 3, I'll put my note there. So Romans 3, 23 to 26, Romans 3, 23, I will get it out. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Being justified freely. We don't have to pay it back. But we surrender our lives and we owe our lives to him. And out of love and obedience, because of what he's done, we give back to him wholeheartedly. So we serve him from our hearts, not because we have to, because I want to. Because I know the great price he has paid for me. Out of love and obligation, you like, I want to serve you, Lord, wholeheartedly. I want to serve you no matter what the cost is. I want to serve you because you have redeemed me. I love you so much, I want to serve you. And it's obedience. It's like, man, I want to serve you. I'm reminded daily of all the things you're still doing in my life, how you've been transforming my heart, how you've been changing me and making me more like Christ every day as I surrender to you. How can you not want to love him more? And so when we take the bread and we're reminding ourselves, isn't it good to have visual aid and to hold on it? Because I'm thinking right now, man, like, Lord, this is your body. You are the bread of life. You're the one who gives me life. Verse 24, I think, been justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So no longer God is going to pass over it. He deals with it. Blood of sacrifices that are no longer. His sacrifice deals with all sin. Luke 24, we'll go back to Luke 24. 45. Luke 24. You know, after his resurrection, he came into the upper room with the disciples. And so when he rose again, they were locked in this door, and they were like, must be a ghost. But Jesus walked in, he says, touch me. See that my hands are pierced, my feet are pierced, the side. And he sat down and said, give me some food, give me some fish. In verse 45, he says, and he opened their eyes of understanding. I'll go back to 44. And then he said to them, these are the words which I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. It's amazing. He told them everything that had to happen. And when it happened, they ran away. Sometimes when we, God gives us his promises, and we hear them, and when trouble comes, sometimes we run away. We hide. And we're like, that wasn't for me. But it's like, Lord, those were for me. And he opened their eyes of understanding. It's amazing. It's like, Lord, today, open up our eyes of our understanding that we may comprehend the scriptures. It's only the Lord could open our minds to the scriptures. And that's my prayer. It's like, Lord, open up my eyes of understanding so I can understand your scripture, your holy word. The Lord's Supper is to remind us of the price he paid to save us. And so if we look to Hebrews 2, who would want to read Hebrews 2, 1? Hebrews 2:1.
We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away.
Amen. Is that a good one? We have to pay careful attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Sometimes we drift away. But the Lord, in his mercy, he still is calling us back to him and wooing us to himself. 1 John 2, verse 28 says, for 1 John 2, verse 28 says, now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have him. I'll read it again. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not to be ashamed before him at his coming. It's like, Lord, I want and I desire to serve you wholeheartedly. So as we take the cup, remind ourselves of the bread and the wine. I know I've said this before, and we have to go back to what the Jewish tradition was of what Jesus was saying. Because when he said, this is the new covenant, and he's speaking of a marriage covenant. So when a young Jewish man reached a marrying age, his family selected an appropriate wife for him. We should do that still today. I could find some good ladies for the boys over there. Especially Zane. I don't know. So they would find his family would select appropriate wife for their boy. And his father would meet the young woman and her father to negotiate a bride price. So even as a dad with a daughter, then it's like, oh, great. I get to say, this is how much my daughter's worth. You have to pay me as much as I think she's worth. And back then, they did. The price was usually very high. When the negotiations were complete, the custom for the young man's father was to pour a cup of wine and hand it to his son. And his son would turn to the young woman and lift the cup out to her and say, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which I offer to you. In other words, he was saying, I love you and I'll give my life for you. Will you marry me? So on the night, the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples sat down together celebrating the Passover. The disciples knew, you know, they knew what he was saying. They went through the rituals all the time, through all their lives, right? Sometimes we have done communion so many times, and we lose really what communion is all about. It's reminding that we're married to the groom. They celebrated Passover all their lives. When they came time to drink the third cup of the wine, the cup of redemption, Jesus lifted the cup as the disciples would expect him, offering a traditional Seder thanks. And so he would say words something like this: "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, for giving us this fruit of the vine." He would say that. That would be the traditional way of saying that prayer. That's what he would have said. But instead, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which I shed for you." So you could probably think, what is he talking about? Why is he saying the marriage vow when we're doing the Seder? And yet, maybe they realized what he was saying, his willingness to die for them, to be buried and to eventually raised to say, "I love you as my Father promised your fathers. I will pay the price for you. In the response, you will love me back by giving me your life." So when he was given the cup, and I'm going to take it, I'm reminding myself every day I have surrendered my life to him. I'm no longer myself. I do not belong to myself. My life is his, to be used for his glory and for his purpose. That I'm his bride. We're reminding ourselves that we are surrendered to him. That's why it's a very sobering time, because we're reminding ourselves that I belong to him, not to myself. Sometimes that's hard to swallow, isn't it? It's like, "Lord, forgive me of my pride." This is when he says, you know, search your hearts before you take this. Am I taking this because of ritual? Or is it because I'm reminded daily that I belong to him and that I'm his bride? Tradition is it's a ritual. We don't want religiousness. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to remind it's a personal relationship with him. That I love him because of who he is. When we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we must be mindful of Jesus' offer. He still says, "I love you." He provided the context of his love by dying on the cross for our sins. He says to us, "I offer my life to you. Will you be my bride?" Taking the cup is a solemn commitment. For it is in that moment that one looks to the Heavenly Father and says, "Yes, I accept your offer, and I give you my life in response." Have you ever taken the cup? Have you accepted Jesus' offer? Have you ever given your life in response? Do you remember when you did that the first time? So it is a vivid, is it as vivid in your memory today as the first day that you said, "Yes, Lord, I want to be your bride"? If not, I hope that memory, that moment is etched in your heart. Sometimes we get complacent. Sometimes we forget because we are so busy. And we think we need to be doing a lot more things that we shouldn't be doing. The most important relationship is time with the Lord. Spending time with him. Know his heart. Father, we thank you for how much you loved us. You still do love us, even though at times we fall short. Father, forgive us for at times having just idols before you at times. And Lord, forgive us at times when we have desire more things of this world than the kingdom. But Lord, thank you that you're still calling us and moving us to yourself, to you. Lord, that we would repent of whatever it is that you're speaking to us about today. Lord, that we would repent and turn away from it. Lord, that we would not desire anything but you, Lord. But Lord, that we would serve you however you have called us, and that we would walk in our giftings and to share the truth of the gospel to people that do not know you. Lord, let us be reminded that we are your body and you have a purpose for each one of us. I thank you, Lord, for redeeming us, even though we don't deserve it. But Lord, thank you. Thank you that we are in right standing with you because we have surrendered our lives to you and we have taken this cup and saying that I desire to be your bride. Lord, thank you that we belong to you. And Lord, as we are going to take this bread and remind ourselves of the sacrifice, how you went to the cross wholeheartedly to take every shame, every guilt, every sin that I have ever committed. Just make it personal. Thank you, Lord, that you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. Just we'll take the bread and just chew and just thank the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your precious blood that cleanses us and purifies us and redeems us. And we thank you, Lord, that with this new covenant, we could come boldly before you and we could enter in the most holy place with you to present the things on our heart to you. And Lord, let us come boldly to you. And Lord, as we take this cup, we're reminding ourselves, yes, Lord, I want to be your bride. Lord, help us to surrender all to you wholeheartedly. Father, as we go today, and we thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for your redemption. I thank you, Lord, for how you made a new covenant with us. Lord, I pray that there be this overflowing joy in our lives. Lord, that we would not look back into the past, but we look forward to this new life with you. Lord, that we would walk with boldness to share the truth of the gospel and share of your love and the redemptive story of how you redeemed us. Lord, let us not be downcast, but Lord, that we would praise you. Lord, let your joy overflow in our lives as we speak of you to others. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name.
We're just going to sing this one last song. New Doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So praise God, praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let earth and heavenly saints proclaim the power and might of His great name. Let us exalt on bended praise God, the Holy Trinity. So praise God, praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, oh praise God, praise God from whom all blessings. Again, so praise God, oh praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, oh praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise to the King, His throne transcends. His crown and kingdom never ends. Now and throughout eternity. The one who died for me. So praise God, praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, oh praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings Jesus.